you are watching Morency Unfiltered. Maybe you're listening to Morency Unfiltered. Either way, it's on the Fantasy Sports Network, Fantasy Sports Television Networks, Fantasy Sports Radio Networks, and also available on pretty much everything else that I don't really understand very much, from Roku to Amazon. Is it Amazon Fire, Google Cast, Apple TV? I don't know, man. I barely know how to use my cell phone, to be honest with you. For me, like, technology means I place bets on my cell phone. That's like the extent of technology for me. I can't even figure out how to take a damn picture and tweet it straight to Twitter, man. I got to get a phone that just, like, does it directly for me. That has to be a phone nowadays. Like, upload to Twitter. You hit button. Like, my phone sucks, man, all right? It freaking sucks. But you know what doesn't suck? Rivalry weekend, college football. It's already here. It's good news, bad news. We got a great weekend of college football coming up. It's Thanksgiving, of course. And we got some great rivalry games, man, that have never meant as much as they do. So let's bring in a man who lives and breathes college football 24/7. Joe Lisi joins us. GoForTheToot.com. You hear him every Saturday morning alongside Rich Simonello right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network as well. Joe, always a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Gabe. Love the show. Love talking college football with you.
It's always a pleasure, Joe. I said you live, breathe college football 24/7. Not, but you squeeze 3.5 hours in a week to cheer for the Miami Dolphins. And are you back on the Dolphins bandwagon? You're one of these Dolphin fans that didn't believe in them before. But, hey, man, they've won 5 in a row. I didn't think it was humanly possible for this team to win 5 in a row.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gabe, but I'm not jumping on the bandwagon yet. I'll still ride it out. Maybe they'll win out the rest of the year and good things will happen. So keeping my fingers crossed, but still not sold on Tannehill and the crew.
All right, so let's jump into rivalry weekend here, Joe. I had Mark Lawrence on earlier in the day. We were talking about this. Mark's been around a long time. I've been following college football since the late 70s. This is the biggest rivalry weekend I can recall. You know, maybe I'm forgetting. You know, I was baked and I drank a lot for, you know, in my mid-20s. I watched the games, but I might not remember them all as clearly as some of the others. But honestly, like, across the board, man, from the Iron Bowl to the game to the Apple Cup, we got monster football games. Like, all these rivalry games are always hyped up, and so often they're just playing for the pageantry of it. You know, Joe, it was only 8 years ago that the Apple Cup, Washington and Washington State had a combined 1-20 record coming into this game, man.
It's unreal. I mean, both teams have turned it around. You look at what Chris Peterson has done in bringing the physicality back to the offense and defensive lines for the Washington Huskies. And you look at the job that Mike Leach has done with the Cougars. I mean, they started the year 0-2, reeled off 7 straight wins in the conference before they lost last week to Colorado. But they have an opportunity to bounce back in a big way with knocking off Washington this coming weekend.
So what do you make of this football game? A Friday afternoon game, 3:30 Eastern time. Washington goes into Pullman. They're 6-point favorites in this game. The fifth-ranked Huskies against the 23rd-ranked Cougars.
Yeah, Washington has owned the series since 2011. They've won 4 of the last 5 by 20 points per game. But for me, I really think that this game comes down to Luke Falk and the running backs of Washington State. Entering that battle last week against Colorado, they have a combined 106 receptions and 21 rushing touchdowns. Wicks, Morrow, and Williams really can not only run the football between the tackles, but catch the ball in the short to intermediate routes. I think that's the difference in this matchup. You look at Washington State defense as well, plus 11 in turnover margin, very solid in run support, only giving up around 120 yards per game, and they're running the football consistently, which allows Luke Falk and that offense to bleed time off the clock and rest their defense. I like Washington State at home to get the upset, Gabe. I really think they have the offensive playmakers to stretch Washington's defense, and I do feel they have the more complete quarterback in Luke Falk over Jake Browning. The Cougars get a mild upset, 38-34 over Washington and Pullman.
You know, last week, Joe, one of the approaches that I took was all these teams that were in the top five, basically, wouldn't cover the point spread, that they would be looking ahead to these big games, and it happened. Alabama didn't cover against Chattanooga. Michigan didn't cover against Indiana. Ohio State barely beat Michigan State. Washington was a convincing win, but Arizona State ended up backdooring them as far as the point spread was concerned, which I was happy about. Clemson didn't cover against Wake Forest. All the, you know, the top five ranked teams, actually, Joe, didn't cover the point spread last week because they were looking ahead to this week. But when I look at this Apple Cup game, Washington State are sort of playing with house money right now. There's a hell of a lot more pressure on the Washington Huskies. We saw the Huskies did not deal with pressure very well already when they played against the USC Trojans. I think they're going to be in for the fight of their life. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost outright as well.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I like Mike Leach in this spot. He's an offensive genius, and I think he'll have a game plan to really stretch that Washington defense and put pressure on the perimeter with his running back. So I think that's the matchup, even though they're without their big play slot receiver, River Craycraft. I think they can make it up with their running backs and big play wide receiver Gabe Marks. So, again, Luke Falk is a solid quarterback. Didn't play in this ball game last year. Was injured when they got blown out in Seattle 45-10. So I think he'll be chomping at the bit to get a piece of the Huskies in this battle.
Alabama, the Iron Bowl. They host the Auburn Tigers. They beat them 29-13 last year. The year before that, it was a real track meet and shootout. Alabama won 55-44. 2013, Auburn 34, Alabama 28. If memory serves me correctly, was that the missed extra point return? Was that the field goal return, right? Yeah, the field goal.
Yeah.
Sorry, not missed extra point. The field goal, missed field goal return. So, you know, for the most part, though, Bama has owned them. You know, we got a good defense with this Auburn Tiger team. Auburn are 8-3 straight up. They're 8-3 against the spread. Meanwhile, we've got Alabama, who are just killing teams, 11-0 straight up, 8-3 against the spread. And like we just said, they didn't cover last week against Chattanooga. It's one of the best bets all the time, guys. Saban doesn't care about beating up these no-name teams. He takes it easy on them. He's usually buddies with the coach or whatever. That's why they're playing each other. He takes it easy on them. So really, you know, 8-3 is really 8-2, in my opinion, when they play in real games. But nevertheless, you know, what do you make of this? I'm not really giving Auburn a shot here because I think Auburn's offense isn't good enough. But what do you make of this one, Joe?
Yeah, Alabama is 4-1-4 of the last five by 26 points per game. And I really think they have the more complete team. And they'll be able to put pressure on Sean White or John Franklin III, whoever gets a start for Auburn in this battle. Auburn's going to have to get into a low-scoring game to match Alabama. I just don't think they can do it. I think Alabama has way too many playmakers. But I do think Alabama covers the number here and dominates this matchup. I think it's high-scoring, too. 41-20, Alabama covers this number in a big way on Saturday afternoon.
And it goes over the number, says Joe, over the 47. You know, one thing with Bama, too, as you just mentioned. So, listen, Auburn's going to want to play a smash-mouth, low-scoring football game and, you know, and take it into the fourth where anything can happen. That's what makes Alabama so dangerous, in my opinion, Joe. They are like, you know, four or five teams within one team. You know, a lot of college football teams do one or two things well, and if it's not working for them, they're kind of screwed. Alabama, that's not the case. You know, if Alabama wants to play smash-mouth football, they'll play smash-mouth football like they did at Baton Rouge that night. If you want to get into a track meet with them, they can hang 50 on you. They'll throw the football down the field. They've got stud wide receivers. Lane Kiffin is an offensive genius. They can play drop back with their quarterback, or they can have them roll out and scramble. They can beat you in so many different ways or so many different styles. Saban's a lot like Belichick. That's what makes great coaches, Joe, as you know. The ability to adapt, not just stick to one thing, but to adapt to the weakness of the other team. And that's why you'll see Alabama play sometimes in these 55-44 games, and sometimes they'll play in a 10-0 game.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great point, Gabe. Alabama's the chameleon. They can play both styles of offense or defense for that matter. And the one thing that Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin do is they break tendencies in big ball games. You saw it in the national championship game, their ability to use different formations to get their playmakers in space. So they sort of feel you out for the first half or so and then make halftime adjustments. That's what good teams and great coaches do. What do they do in the second half of ball games to really wear down teams and find out their strengths and weaknesses? And that's why I like Alabama to dominate this matchup in Tuscaloosa on Saturday.
Well, speaking of domination, the Ohio State Buckeyes have dominated the Michigan Wolverines over the last decade. Michigan, I'm looking at the scores here. Ohio State 42, Michigan 13. 2014, Ohio State 42, Michigan 28. I'm looking at 2013, Ohio State 42, Michigan 41. That was a close one. I remember that one. Michigan and Ohio State 26-21, Ohio State won. We have to go back to 2011, in which Michigan outscored Ohio State 40-34. And, you know, that was their first win in like five occasions then. Ohio State 9-1 the last 10 times they played. And I got to tell you, man, I've been a lifelong Michigan fan. There's been some big ones along the way. I think it was like 2005 or 2006. There's been a couple of occasions where either us or Ohio State have had a chance to do something big. But it's rare, similar to Auburn and Alabama, it's rare that, you know, they're both in the national championship mix. Here, like, the game has never been a bigger game before, Joe. This is as big as it gets, man. Number two versus number three, Big Ten championship. Ohio State doesn't go if Penn State wins, but they'll get into the playoff anyways if they win this football game. You got Urban Meyer versus John Harbaugh. It doesn't get any bigger than this. John Harbaugh.
Well, you got it right. It's a hardball, but I agree with you, Gabe. This is a great game overall. I look for a very low-scoring game. And I don't put a lot of weight into that Michigan victory. A conservative approach with John Elkorn at quarterback last week with a vanilla game plan against Indiana. I really feel you'll see the kitchen sink for Michigan in this battle. Look for Jabril Peppers to be utilized. Multiple formations on the offensive side of the ball. I think Michigan wins this ball game. I think it's very low scoring. Look for a 20-14 game, but I look for Jabril Peppers to be the difference maker. Look for Jim Harbaugh to utilize him in the short to intermediate passing game in the slot formation out of Wildcat. He's the difference. He's the best player on the field, and I think that's the difference for Michigan in this ball game, offensively and defensively. Jabril Peppers takes over, and then Michigan wins a low scoring game, 20-14.
Yeah, it's 6.5 right now. The point spread. The total is 45.5. I like where you're going with a low-scoring game, and great call, Joe, as far as Jabril Peppers is concerned. Whatever you have up your sleeve right now, this is the time. You're right. You know, if you've got a reverse, hell, if you want him throwing the football, you have him run out of the Wildcat 8 times. If it works the first time, do it again. This is one of these deals, man. It's almost more important for Michigan to beat Ohio State and just get there, Joe, than it is to actually win. You know what I mean? I don't have any expectations of us beating Alabama if we played them in the playoffs. I think we could compete. But, you know, John Elkorn, you're right. John Elkorn struggled last week. He only completed 7 passes. Very vanilla offense. But there was a turning point with Elkorn in that football game in which, you know, the big house was getting quiet, man. It was pretty tense in there. And Elkorn scrambled for like 16 yards, picked up a first down, you know, ran a couple of dudes over. You know, the big play got up, you know, first down, was all fired up. And I think something sort of clicked for him. We're talking about a stud quarterback from St. Thomas, you know, in Florida. We're talking about a kid that lit up the American Athletic Conference as a freshman with the Houston Cougars. Lost a job to Greg Ward, no shame in that. We know the kid has the pedigree, and I'll cut him some slack last week, as you stated, Joe. I think the game plan was vanilla, and secondly, you know, Michigan were under a lot of pressure. They're coming off a loss. They were just trying to get the damn win. Not to mention, it was a freaking blizzard, Joe. It was like crazy snow and wind for most of that game last week.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I think that that really helps Michigan in this ball game to win a close game like that, because the intensity in this ball game, College Game Day is going to be there for 5 hours. All eyes will be on this ball game at 12 p.m. Eastern time, and I like the more solid defense, in my opinion, in the Michigan Wolverines. And like I stated again, the best player on the field, by hands down, in my opinion, is Jabril Peppers, and the way he could take over a game, not just on the defense side of the ball, but his ability in the offensive schemes, to me, is what makes Michigan lethal in this ball game. And I like the Wolverines and Jim Harbaugh in a revenge type of game. He ain't gonna lose 2 in a row, in my opinion, to Urban Meyer.
Joe Lisi, go for the 2.com with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll continue knocking down rivalry weekend right here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Morency Unfiltered on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Man, great show tonight. We've had a great day today on the Fantasy Sports Network, man. We had Iron Mike Ditka on the show earlier today, Joe, on Game Time Decisions. Earlier in the week, we had Dick Stockton on. We've had Paul Horning on. We've had some great guests. We talked college football earlier today with Mark Lawrence. Now wrapping it up with you, Joe. Great day of shows here on the network.
This is what it's all about. Best time of the year, turkey, football, and some great, great talent on Fantasy Sports Network. Nothing better, Gabe.
Yeah, great talent, not me notwithstanding. Let's not throw me. I'm not part of the great talent. But, you know, it has been a great year for Penn State. Well, you know, it's strange. It wasn't a great year for Penn State because it was really only about 6 weeks ago that people actually were considering firing Franklin. And they were getting tired of this. They were getting blasted earlier in the year. But they hung in there. Now suddenly they're 9-2. They control their own destiny. They win this football game against Michigan State, and Ohio State wins. So I guess they don't fully control their destiny. Penn State wins. Ohio State wins. Penn State are in the Big Ten championship game because they beat Ohio State. If Michigan beats Ohio State, then they're going to the Big Ten championship game because they beat Penn State. So that's the way this works. But nevertheless, Penn State, you know, taking the field, you know, that Michigan game could still be going on, actually. So, you know, they'll sort of know, which I think is a distraction for Penn State, actually, Joe, because there's no way in hell they're not going to be looking at this in the room. I bet you Franklin won't let the kids look, but the staff will be looking. Everyone in tailgating is going to be looking. Everyone's obviously going to be paying attention to Michigan and Ohio State. I, you know, me and Mark Lawrence talked about this earlier today. I like Michigan State plus the points, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won this game outright, man. A lot of pressure on Penn State, Joe.
Yeah, there is. They've won the last two and have dominated the last two games, Gabe, over Penn State. But I look at Michigan State overall as really selling out last week at home in East Lansing. I understand where you're going with that matchup. When I look at this Michigan State team, though, they're still negative in turnover margin for the first time since 2009. And they, entering that game last week, only had 7 sacks through 10 games. They got to JT Barrett a couple of times. But their inability to create a pass rush, especially against a mobile quarterback, in Trace McSorley. I like the way the offensive line is playing for Penn State in this battle, and a team that cannot create turnovers consistently on the road, in my opinion, is a team that can't win ball games. So I'm going to stick with Penn State in this battle, even though I understand Michigan State's won the last two. I'm going to go with the hot team in Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley and look for James Franklin and the crew to win this ball game by about 17 points on Saturday afternoon.
Joe likes Penn State to get it done. And I'll tell you what, if Ohio State wins and Penn State wins, Penn State goes to the Big Ten championship game. You know, if I'm these other conferences, I you better be aware you're going to get screwed because Ohio State's getting in. If they're 11-1, they're getting in. And there's no way in hell that the winner of Wisconsin and Penn State, a two-loss Big Ten champion's not getting in too, Joe. It'll be Alabama, two Big Ten teams, and, you know, either whoever survives, man, Washington or Clemson, basically.
Yeah, that's a great point. So keep that in mind as the Apple Cup. I mean, the Apple Cup is Friday, so that won't matter. They'll be watching those ballgames.
Good
point. But that's a great point. I think when you look at the Big Ten, I mean, Michigan and Ohio State, should Penn State go to the Big Ten championship game, yeah, they're going to be there. So it's unfortunate that that's the way it falls, but that's what makes college football great, Gabe, is that the regular season matters, unlike college basketball where we have mediocrity during the regular season and we just let everybody into the bracket.
All right, so how about this big game for the Colorado Buffaloes? They're quietly 9-2 right now. The Pac-12 is interesting. I'm not even sure, like you said, Washington could lose to Washington State. They could lose in the Pac-12 championship game after the fact. Colorado and Utah, an interesting game, and we've got Western Michigan looking for perfection as well. And, you know, they're going to be under the gun, man. They're not playing the Buffalo Bulls this week. The Toledo Rockets have played a tougher schedule than Western Michigan. We're talking about a Toledo team that went into to Fayetteville last year and beat Arkansas. They beat Arkansas State on the road this year. They took it down to the wire, man, against BYU and Provo on a Friday night earlier this year. Toledo are a battle-tested team, Joe, and they're getting 9 points against the Broncos.
Yeah, that's a great point. And the one thing that they have is a solid offensive line that'll protect Logan Woodside. And they have two big play running backs in Kareem Hunt and Terry Swanson that could put pressure on Western Michigan's defensive front seven. So I agree with that. I think it's an intriguing battle, but I still like quarterback Zach Terrell in this battle. I think they're the more complete team and have stepped up in competition. I'd be willing to lay the 9 points with Western Michigan in this battle. Just think P.J. Fleck is a solid head coach. He'll have the Broncos up and ready, and I like Western Michigan to cover this number on Saturday.
All right, we got a couple of minutes left, Joe, so I brought up the Colorado Buffaloes. I'm looking at the Pac-12 conference standings, and in the Pac-12 South, there's the Colorado Buffaloes in first place with a 7-1 record. USC beat Colorado. That was their conference loss. But USC have two conference losses. So Colorado's controlling their own destiny, taking on the Utah Utes here. Not a lot of people are talking about Colorado in the national championship picture. I get it. They got two losses right now. But a lot of stuff can happen between now and then, Joe. So Colorado's, man, they're taking the field playing for big things still, this team.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I like the Buffaloes in this matchup because of the way they're playing on the offensive and defensive lines. Sefolofau can exploit that Utah secondary. And Philip Lindsay is one of the most underrated running backs in college football. I think Colorado wins this matchup convincingly in Boulder. And they've covered an astronomical number against the spread this year, Gabe. So that's why I'm not going against that train. Momentum, I like Colorado in this matchup. Utah coming off a tough loss to Oregon in Salt Lake City. Look for the Buffaloes to win this ball game from about 14 to 17 points in Boulder.
Yeah, you look at the Colorado Buffaloes this year, man. You talk about being money makers, 9-2 straight up. They're 10-1, 10-1 guys against the spread. I'm a big Whittingham fan. I seem to bet on Utah almost on a weekly basis, but after last week's loss to the Ducks, man, it's tough to want to back them in this spot here. I do find the numbers a little high, though, Joe. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, I can understand, though, the 10 points. I mean, they're looking at the Utah loss to Oregon and the way that Colorado came back from that first-half deficit against Washington State. I mean, Colorado's played very well at home and have beaten some solid teams in Folsom's Field. So I think that's why you're seeing the number at 10 points. In my opinion, don't get sucked in with the Utes on the big number. Colorado is clearly the better team, in my opinion.
Joseph Lisi, GoForTheTwo.com. Check him out on Twitter. Check out his website, GoForTheTwo.com, and check out the radio show with Rich Sherminello. It's excellent stuff every Saturday morning. And check out the podcast whenever the hell you want on the Fantasy Sports Radio Networks. Always a pleasure, Joe. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Gabe. Love the show. Anytime. Enjoy.
There's Joe Lisi with us. We come back and wrap things up. All right, guys, as always, we don't have a lot of time on the way out, but I do want to let you know that I like the Detroit Lions in the morning. We won't be on before that game kicks off. We'll be on live, though, game time decisions at 2 o'clock, breaking down the Cowboys and the Redskins and the Steelers and the Colts game. But a little early morning action. I like the Minnesota Viking-Detroit Lion game to go over the number. And I like the Detroit Lions to take over sole possession of first place and win their seventh game of the year. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.